Sitting at home, snowed in with your kids. We've got a little civic engagement lesson for the family if you want to take part. Last Saturday marked a milestone for government transparency, with every federal agency responsible for launching an open government webpage for the data they are revealing as part of the Government Transparency Initiative. In order to test the effectiveness and accessibility of this giant data dump, we want you to help us search through one tiny part of one agency's revelations, the USA Spending Contracts database, which contains data on all government contracts from the last 10 years. If you go to our blog through the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC.org, you'll see specific instructions for what we're looking for. People have already submitted some of the contracts and contractors from their home zip codes. As you explore this new tool and try to come to terms with all the information out there. But as listener Roger Abraham posted, I like the system. It is a lot of data, and it's better than it sitting in a file cabinet in a basement, but I still feel like if I didn't know what I was looking for, it'd be easily missed, unquote. So we'll ask about that. There is a truly impressive amount of data that has become readily available as part of President Obama's Open Government Initiative. The challenge now is to make it useful to anyone but the most enterprising data hounds. So joining me now to talk about what's there, what's not, and what's still to come are Anish Chopra, the United States Chief Technology Officer, and Beth Novak, U.S. Deputy CTO and the head of the White House Open Government Initiative. Beth, welcome back. And Anish Chopra, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's so much information here, first of all, that it really is a little daunting to even start talking about all the new transparency stuff. You heard that comment that I read from one of our listeners. We are asking folks to check it out and participate. But what did you look for in the creation of these tools, Anish? What is success for a tool's ability to sort information?
Well, there's actually three sort of foundational principles that are at the heart of the program we've launched. The first principle has been one the president's cared about for many, many years, and that is the notion of a more open government to create a level of accountability. This is, to quote former Justice Brandeis, the notion of sunlight being the best disinfectant. So the site you just asked your reader, your listeners to participate with, usaspending.gov, actually was born out of a piece of legislation that then Senator Obama had moved forward, what was affectionately referred to as Google for Government. And the premise here is that if sunlight's the best disinfectant, let's put the raw data of what government is doing out there for the American people to see. But there are two equally important principles that may not be captured just in the raw data that you're describing. The second of those is that the president believes, as we all acknowledge in our lives, that knowledge is widely dispersed. And one of our challenges in government is to make sure that every voice across the country has the chance to participate in their government. And frankly, there are a lot of voices who've got great ideas and perspectives about how we run certain programs and how we work with each other that we've got to tap into their expertise. And thankfully, technology has made it easier for us to capture information from people far outside of Washington, D.C., where we've really over-relied on lobbyists and insiders with connections to sort of shape government policy. And then the third principle, briefly, is in a sense, for lack of a better term, news you can use. The government has so much information that if we put it out for general public consumption, it's not necessarily meant for accountability, but could actually help them in their daily lives. And we could talk about specific examples throughout the show, but these three principles are sort of equal in their importance. The transparency piece for accountability, the knowledge, capturing knowledge that's widely dispersed, and establishing a platform for news you can use.
And listeners, if we're doing a segment on government transparency and we have these high government officials with us, of course, they welcome your phone calls, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you want to talk to Anish Chopra, the United States Chief Technology Officer, and Beth Novick, Deputy CTO and the head of the White House Open Government Initiative, 212-433-9692. And Beth Novick, is transparency just raw data? I think Anish was just getting at some of this, but how much effort have you been making as part of this work to show the process behind the data, to get people access to data in a way that they will be able to make some sense of it in a usable way?
Right. So I think Anish makes a very important point that when we put the data out there, we rely very much. It's not simply transparency for its own sake. It's transparency really combined with civic engagement and citizen participation. So it's the opportunity for people to take that data, to use it, to analyze it, to mash it up, and to make it valuable and to turn raw data into knowledge. So when we have, for example, the USDA releasing nutrition, basic nutrition data, that by itself is a wonderful and important thing, but what's great is now the USDA is working with foundations, with companies, and with educators to launch a competition that will actually promote the creation of games aimed at providing healthy nutrition, healthy eating information to young people and to tweens, and to the important goal of reducing childhood obesity. Or it's when, for example, on data.gov, you'll find the website that was created to make this data easily available and searchable for people. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration releases data that rates child safety seats, not just the seats that are safe, but how easy they are to use, how simple they are to install, the vehicle installation features. Then other groups, whether it's Consumers Union or other commercial outfits, can take that government data that we make available and translate into things that are more accessible and more useful to consumers. So whether it's techies making tools and iPhone apps, or whether it's third-party organizations, news organizations, and whatnot, when we provide the raw data combined with efforts to actually engage people in using that data, we can translate it into information that both creates the accountability but also creates knowledge that's useful to people and improves their daily lives.
And
if I could, just a minute on that, Brian. We have a very dynamic private sector, and they're really good at coming up with ways to engage you, whether that be an iPhone app or a text messaging program for your cell phone or any one of a number of ways of connecting. To think that the government is going to design sort of the perfect app that will meet your needs is really not the ambition here. We really want to supply the raw information so hundreds of companies could find ways to connect to you personally. So the user experience coming directly to data.gov, probably not meant to be the same as when you watch a television show that's been thoughtfully produced or anywhere close to that. That's not our ambition. It's not where our resources are best spent. Our hope is that this information is consumed by those dynamic entrepreneurs and to put to use so that you may not even know the source data is coming from the government, but you're engaging with a particular program or application to make your life better.
Right. And those kinds of entrepreneurs or information entrepreneurs, whether they be journalists or consumer activists or whatever, I guess are best suited to use this to best effect, unless they're looking for something very specific in their district. So, for example, let's look at a few of the results that we got when we opened this up to our listeners in the last day, inviting them to go on the USA Spending Contracts database, which contains data on all government contracts. And, you know, when you get to a huge database like this, you have to start somewhere. So we suggested that people maybe pick the zip code of their birth and see what government contracts are being let out in that zip code, since that's one of the ways you can search it, by zip code. So, for example, we got this from Jonathan Jeffries in New York City, who wrote zip code 10033 in Washington Heights, relatively poor district. Total dollars spent on contracts, about $3 million. Zip code 10010 in Gramercy Park on the much wealthier east side. Total dollars spent on contracts, more than $285 million. And he concludes, that about says it. So, Beth Novick, what would your reaction to that be? What would be the next step of somebody doing something with that information?
Well, I think you're exactly, this exactly points is a great example, and exactly points out why we make this data available. And to your point earlier, what you can then do with this is, for example, as the Sunlight Foundation has done, is they've taken raw data like this, they've turned it into an iPhone app that allows people geographically walking down the street to actually find this information, make it accessible, see it, visualize it, so that they can actually track where that data is, where that money is being spent, and make use of it. It allows the journalists like you and the people listening on the radio to, in turn, bring that information out, to bring it to the attention of their elected officials, to the consumer activists, as you point out, to dig in deeper and find out what's really the source of that spending. Is there really some sort of a discrepancy or disparity based on neighborhood, based on race, or is it really related to some other features? We'd have to really dig in deeper on that data to know what's going on that specific instance. But this kind of accountability, that kind of analysis is only possible, and the engagement with that, if we provide the raw data. So I think it's important to point out that one of the things that happened this week wasn't simply the release of data, which has been an ongoing effort and which we've been promoting, and there has been a new release of government data in response to the president's call just a week ago. But what's happening now is that every government agency starting this week has created a new web page called nameofagency.gov/open, so epa.gov/open or dot.gov/open, a place in which you can interact with the agency, come back to them and say exactly what you're pointing out. There is a discrepancy in the way a particular agency may be spending money between two neighborhoods, and to help the agency be more effective and more efficient in the way it operates, or to tell the agency we need more data on this particular topic. So every single agency, in response to the president's mandate, has now created a place for citizens to engage directly with the agency for exactly these reasons, to both create more accountability but also to push transparency insofar as it may promote improvements in people's lives, public safety, public health, et cetera, of the kind we talked about with regard to the car seat example.
Since people are so interested in government spending, can we use this spending contracts database, Anish, to search, for example, by industry? I'm thinking of our previous segment where we had reporter Miles O'Brien on how President Obama is trying to revamp the space program, and the howls of protest that he's getting from people like Alabama Senator Richard Shelby, who has a lot of the current space industrial complex in his state. A lot of that would lose business. Can you search space-related technologies or something like that to come up with which members of Congress might have vested interests here?
Well, you know, that is a classic opportunity for somebody who's focused on that industry to grab the raw data and combine it with the what are called industry classification codes. So just as an example, one of the areas of my responsibility is tracking research and development investments. So a group of stakeholders built a website, not in the government, but sort of outside of the government, that focused on research and development investments because they knew that industry better than a generic database that you've sent your listeners to. And what they've done is captured the information from government databases, combined it with what they knew about universities and federal labs and private labs, and they've created a very easy to understand summary of why are the state universities getting more or less research grants than others. And that type of what I would call analytic work is best done by those who can help explain or describe the scenario. The description you had about NASA really cuts in two directions. The first is, can you link contractors and the folks winning existing spending to various public records on campaigns and donations? There are a whole range of nonprofit organizations who are basically combining those two databases so that you can know more about what your legislator is doing. But there are others who say, gosh, there's a growth industry here. I heard earlier on your show about the burgeoning commercial spaceflight industry. Well, wow, there are several dozen companies that are starting to show some momentum here. I bet you some website tracking the commercial spaceflight industry could monitor those companies, and any time a new contract is awarded to one of them, can have that information pulled from the government database and presented in whatever mechanism.
Interesting.
So That's what we're hoping for, that more and more of those combinations, those mashups, will provide the insight you're describing.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC, with Anish Chopra, the United States Chief Technology Officer appointed by President Obama, and Beth Novak, the head of the White House Open Government Initiative, and Rihanna in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hi, Rihanna.
Hi. I'm a grad student here in New York City, and I just wanted to say that, you know, this kind of initiative is great, especially if it was expanded to state and local, because even with, I'm an urban policy student, and the research skills that we've developed, we still have an impossible time finding basic data. And we could be doing, you know, we could be solving problems for free, and we do attempt to, but it's so impossible to get, you know, simple data dumps that, you know, we can't do that basic research that would be so helpful to departments or cities or the country.
Well, thank you for your very kind remarks. This is really a wonderful opportunity for grassroots activism. You know, normally government agencies, employees, politicians, they essentially traffic in two types of activities. One is they look for new resources or programs, and so there's a debate about investments and budgets. Or they organize around laws and regulations. So what are the rules of the road? What this movement has really opened up is now a third dimension to how we interact with our public sector. Now we can start to ask, can you provide me the data? And you as an urban planning graduate student, you know, in a sense, might find this very difficult task of, gosh, I wish I could learn more about what the housing and urban development communities have to say about the quality of their inspections. And by the way, that particular data set we've just published on January 22nd, where now for the first time, every site inspection for the public housing programs under the auspices of our Housing and Urban Development Agency, the raw information is now available without having to ask for it or call up some third party that could do that work for you at a very hefty fee. So I hope listeners on the show...
I was just going to add to that, Anish, that can also, if you don't find that data set already on data.gov, you can actually request a data set. There's a specific feature there that would allow you to say, as a researcher, I want to actually request a data set from HUD, or I want to see a data set that's made available that will help embolden and empower the research you want to do.
And last comment, you mentioned state and local governments. New York City is one of the most active in building off of this movement. Under Mayor Bloomberg's leadership, they've launched the Big Apps Contest, which I'm assuming perhaps you may have covered on this show.
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, they just announced the first winners the other day. Let me get one more call in for you. Stephanie in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Stephanie.
Yeah, hi. My question is more of the technical specifications that would be available so that we can actually manipulate the data accordingly. I'm thinking of things like data dictionaries, maybe example apps, and also support mechanisms. What do you sort of have in place to kind of support your people that are going to be using this?
Beth, real quick.
Yeah, so really quick, you'll see that all the data sets are there that are made available in raw downloadable formats. This is an effort that's being organized by the CIO. In other words, every CIO across the whole executive branch of the government is being supported by the efforts that you described to create data dictionaries and other protocols and standards for making it really easily accessible. You'll see if you go online to whitehouse.gov/open, a request for participation actually in response specifically to how we can make data.gov a better site, a more useful site, and more available. So if you have expertise and interest in this particular technical issues, the CIO Council is actually inviting feedback on the concept of operations for data.gov, and you'll find that online. And we really invite you to please give us your suggestions and input as to how we can make the process better and more user-friendly for people.
And how do you get agencies of the federal government to post the things that they want to hide? I mean, I think your requirement by last Saturday, which was kind of a historic deadline because every federal agency had to make some data transparent through this new open government initiative, but they could make any data, as I understand it, transparent. Now you have to get them to make the things that they would rather kind of, you know, sweep under the rug transparent. Is that something that can be done from above, or are we journalists going to still have to file Freedom of Information requests? Certainly we will have to in many, many cases. But, you know, but it doesn't mean that they can't hide things, right, Anish?
This program is designed with both top-down accountability and bottom-up creativity and innovation. So on the same whitehouse.gov/open page, you will see a dashboard that the CIO and I have stood up to basically serve as a grading mechanism to ensure that the agencies are producing not only high-value data, but they're engaging the public in a meaningful way, and that they're making clear what their strategies will be for creating a collaborative environment, one that's more participatory and also on those principles of transparency.
What's the CIA's grade so far?
Well, thus far, we've got essentially a very simple grading exercise, because most of the work has been binary. Is your page up or not? Is the do you have a senior official named or not? But on April 7th, each agency is going to publish its open government plan, and we are going to establish what I would call stretch criteria on the dashboard so that we could grade people higher or lower based on their commitment and their alignment with these aspirational goals.
All right.
So, in fact, we'll be asking the public for feedback on those stretch goals in the coming weeks.
And that is where we have to leave it. And again, listeners, if you want to start wading into this world through our site, you can go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and participate in our USA Spending Contracts Database crowdsourcing project. And we want to thank Anish Chopra, the United States Chief Technology Officer, and Beth Novak, Deputy CEO, CTO, and Head of the White House Open Government Initiative, for coming on WNYC with us. Thank you both so much.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And now, what's your Blizzard status? Call us up, 212-433-WNYC. Are you at work doing the job that your coworker with a car couldn't come in and do? Or what else is your blizzard status right now? 212-433-WNYC. What's your blizzard status? We'll take your calls in a minute. 212-433-9692.